Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. And our guest today is Pastor Morris St. Angelo of the New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, community leader, chaplain with the coroner's office, and just an all-around good guy and member of the Kingdom of God. So, Morris, welcome.
Wow, I'm glad to be here. Now I found out I was all those things.
I've been preaching a series recently called If You Can Keep It. Kind of an interesting thought-provoking series. You know, one of the things that when things are, we think they're always going to be. We just assume that whatever's there is always going to be there. I preached this series on If You Can Keep It, and it tells me that maybe there's something out there that we need to consider. So tell us a little bit about it and where your thoughts came from.
Despite the fact that I slept through every history class I had in school, I've become very interested in our founding fathers' principles and thoughts in the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
When our fledgling nation was put together, we had the Declaration of Independence, we had the war, and then they decided to give us papers, as they say, to get our pedigree, and they put together our Constitution. Well, when the Constitutional Convention was completed and the delegates were walking out, Benjamin Franklin, who was the elder statesman at that time, and this was in 1787, a lady, and from what I read, probably knew him, and she said, Dr. Franklin, what have you given us, a republic or a monarchy? And he replied, it's a republic, madam, if you can keep it. And well, when I read that, what he said that, it struck me the mindset of those who put this thing together, that they didn't think that just because they wrote the documents and sort of got the top spinning, that it would spin all by itself through all eternity, that there was more to be done than what they had done. John Adams had written, he said that, I study war and politics so that my sons can study engineering, so that their children can study arts and painting and music.
Amazing. Interesting.
Isn't that interesting perception? So this fledgling experiment in democracy, this republic that we have, they didn't think it would last just because they said so, that there was more to be done.
So there's an element of maintenance. It wasn't that they wrote the perfect document that would survive changing cultures and times, but there must be more to it that needs to happen on a current basis to keep this thing rocking and rolling.
Yes, there is. And I don't think we've understood that as a people, at least not in my generation. Let me just say the last 30 or 40 years, we've lost the idea of our responsibility. There used to be an old saying, and I assume it's still done, we don't talk about politics and religion. So we've decided not to talk about politics and religion. In other words, we just forgot about it, do our own thing, and hope for the best. And we've ended up with a mess. Some of the things that go on that frustrate us to no end, for instance, I think the approval rating on Congress is something like 5%. That's pretty bad. We've come a long ways from where we began. We're a nation that's designed to be debated. We have a Senate, and we have congressmen, and to debate issues, and an executive branch. These things are put in place so it wouldn't be just one guy with one idea. We weren't creating a monarchy. We were creating a place that interchanges ideas. When one side is quiet, the other side runs rampant and does whatever it wants to do. And I think we've done that, and we've suffered the results of it.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you implying that the Constitution, as it was originally written, needs to be changed and updated?
Absolutely not. What they wrote, I believe it was written under the divine inspiration of God. In fact, the Founding Fathers thought that too, so I'm not by myself. And many of the principles that are in those documents were from written documents by religious people. They didn't do this in a vacuum, but they realized it was the starting point. It wasn't the final point. obviously, if you want to look at things, they didn't say anything about rocket science because there wasn't any rocket science. We do need laws about things. Can everybody have a rocket? Can they shoot it off whenever they want? Is that safe? We need some laws, and that's what legislation does. But more back to if you can keep it. Freedom was established, and it was established with the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that we're created by God. We have certain inalienable rights. That's one of them 50-cent words. That means God didn't, nobody gave it to you except God, and nobody can take it away from you but God. And among these rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they pledge their fortunes, their lives, and what they considered most important, I believe, the most sacred honor, to see that those things happen. They then, once they had obtained it, they established it through the Constitution. That established us. That gave us our papers, if you will. That's our pedigree. And these are the rules we're going to lead and run by. Prior to that, he had 13 independent groups called the colonies. And everybody pretty much did what they wanted to do. This Constitution brought us together and established us. But where we are today is at the maintenance part. We have to maintain this thing. In order to maintain an automobile, you have to know how to do it. And you have to know what is intended to do. Your truck, for instance, is designed to go on a farm, go off-road. It's got four-wheel drive. It's designed to do those things. Put a load of hay in the back or whatever you do with a truck, which is a lot different than a sedan, which has got two-wheel drive. And don't take it off the highway because it's not going to work very well. It'll get stuck. So if we know that about who we are, how we're established, what our founding fathers had in their mind, then it becomes our responsibility to maintain that according to the manual and make sure that we have a land of the free and a home of the brave based on those documents that were written and the fact that we make sure that our kids understand about George Washington. George Washington never told a lie. He cut down the cherry tree, and he fessed up. Now, I know revisionist history says that never happened. Somebody should have told Washington's family, because back in the early stages when that was first published, they affirmed that it did happen, that was truth.
Okay.
And revisionist history has changed that. History has been revised. We need to get back to the beginning. We need to know what happened, what was said, see what the founding fathers said, read those originalist documents, and apply those to the life that we have today. They believed in freedom religion because they believed people were moral, that they went to church, that they believed in God, and they set this thing called America up on those principles.
So the whole, if we can't go back and change the Constitution, and if Benjamin Franklin said if we can keep it, really the focus on this maintenance is us.
Absolutely.
It's up to us to be able to maintain the thought and to be able to be the godly people that this was intended to serve, isn't it?
They believe that freedom and virtue, that if you didn't have virtue, if you didn't do the right thing, then freedom couldn't exist. The freedom that they gave us requires a virtuous people. We need to do the right thing. You know, something you told me, Bob, many years ago, when you were in Albania, you discovered whenever you tried to get anything done through the Albanian government, which at that time, before you got there, was the most atheistic, communistic country in the world. And you said that you discovered that they had it set up that if they didn't have a law which gave them permission to do something, it was illegal. So anything you did had to have a law for you to do it. Here in America, they've given us just the opposite. They said, you're free to do anything unless we make a law that says you can't do it. So law then, it constricts evil and it rewards good in our nation. That's what they gave to us, a virtuous people. You don't cheat on your income tax because there's 100 people looking over your document to make sure you didn't. You don't cheat on your income tax because that's a virtuous thing to do. My wife and I went to dinner the other night and we had a little card that we had gone previously, and they had an electrical problem. They couldn't service dinner, and they gave us a card to reward us that said we got a free dessert and a free appetizer, which is pretty nice. It was written on the back of a business card. We went to dinner, and we didn't realize that it had appetizer on it. We thought it just had a dessert. So when the check came, and we said, oh, we get a free dessert. And the girl looked at it. She said, oh, you get a free appetizer, too. Said, well, we don't want an appetizer. Can we just get the dessert? And you can just write on here that we got the dessert today. And the girl said, sure. So they brought us our dessert, and when we were getting ready to leave, and Pat said, do you want to write on here? She said, oh, no, we don't have to write on the card. Just keep it, and when you come, you get your free appetizer. And I chided Pat, and I said, that means we come back and get a free appetizer and a free dessert, because they didn't walk it. And she said, no, we won't get a free dessert, because we wouldn't do that. See, virtuous people don't take advantage of the situation. It takes virtuous people to do the right thing so that the government doesn't have to make a law about everything. The certain fundamental rules are we will do good. We'll watch over our neighbor. We won't hurt our neighbor. We won't rob and steal. We won't do things that cause the government to have to make laws to keep us from doing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But let me ask you, whose responsibility? Is it the government's responsibility to teach us how we need to act? Is it the government needs to tell us, in order to keep the republic, you need to act a certain way? Or is there some other mechanism that really serves this purpose?
Yes, there is. And I'm glad you asked that question, because our founding fathers told us about it. And they said in order for virtue to work, you had to have faith. And where do you get faith? Godly faith. You get it in the pulpit. You get it from your parents. You get it from your grandparents. They established those values in us. And when those values are established in us, we don't chop down a cherry tree because our parents told us that's a bad thing to do. God wouldn't like it if you did that. We have faith. We go to church. We get our faith reestablished. We learn about what's right and what's wrong. The Ten Commandments, by the way, as a friend of ours said, wasn't the Ten Suggestions. You know, it was the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. You know, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, thy neighbor's wife. You know, those things are still in effect. And, you know, I'm a grace preacher, but that doesn't change things that are historically true about mankind, things that we don't do. Okay? So we learn that. It builds our faith. We live by faith. We do virtuous deeds. We do virtuous deeds. And freedom, like a flower that has been planted in fertile ground and watered and fertilized, blooms and grows every day.
So when we take prayer out of school, when we promote the what we both know is the bogus argument of separation of church and state, when we take Christian symbols out of society, we're really working against ourselves, aren't we?
Because sure.
All of this seems to be, if what you're saying is true, and I believe that it is, what you're saying is true, then we're really working against the document that we depend on and taking the life out of that document. Is that right?
Well, that's exactly right, Bob. And the document, in order for it to work, requires us to have these things going. Does that mean everybody has to go to my church or believe the way I do? No. But they understood that these things worked in conjunction with one another. You know, back in the 50s, in this area that we live in, people never locked their doors. In fact, many people didn't have locks on their doors, because they knew that their neighbors weren't about to come in and rob them. Things have changed. Now we not only have locks, we have bars, and we have alarm systems, and we have guns to make sure that nobody breaks into our house. Our virtue has disappeared. People have forgotten to be virtuous. Not everyone, but that element of society that has forgotten it. We need back, there's an old song that's called an old-time religion. I think we need to get back to some old-time religion. And where do we find that? We find it identified in the history of our founding fathers of our country. I want to go back there, because if we don't remember that, then we'll want to change things. I've heard a report recently. Somebody said, we need a constitutional convention to change our constitution. And I've screamed at the radio, no, we don't want to do that. The document's fine. We just need to work on the people.
Amen.
We just need to teach them the truth, not a revisionist truth, but the real truth. We need to read some of our history. Find books written before 1950, you know, some older books. Read some books by people who understand that. David Barton, a good Christian historian. You can find him on his website. Just Google David Barton. People like Eric Metaxas, M-E-T-A-X-E-S, I believe is Metaxas. Great historian, Christian writer, puts things in perspective. That's just two to come to my mind immediately. But do a little digging. In fact, if you're a parent and you're listening to this, you might want to read some of your kids' history books and find out some things. We've cut out a lot of good things and changed them, and we've made people be what they're not. Separation of church and state. It's bogus because it's not true. It's not in any document, not in our Declaration of Independence, nor is it in our Constitution, nor is it in any amendment to the Constitution. I know we have a limited amount of time on this station, but briefly, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to the Danbury Church, who was afraid that the new government was going to establish a religion like they had in England, a state religion. What was written to those people by Thomas Jefferson said that there's a wall of separation that keeps the government from interfering with the churches. So that would never happen. But he didn't say, and our documents don't say, nor did our founding fathers say, that religion couldn't interfere with government. We need people of faith in government, ordinary folks who have good, virtuous faith in God, patriots who will do the right thing. That's what we need more of.
Well, you know, as we look at this, you're talking about maintaining that which we were given. It's really not maintaining the document. It's maintaining a character. It's maintaining a belief system that works.
Yes.
It's been working since the beginning of time.
Yes.
And to continue to maintain it. And when we start doing things that are contrary to the principles of life that God gave us, the principles of living, of family values, the principles of love your neighbor as yourself, the principle of taking care of people who are in prison and sick and just loving and caring for our neighbors, when all of that goes away and it becomes simply a me generation, then what we're doing is not only violating that which God gave us, we're destroying the basis of our nation. We cannot exist. If we can keep it, maybe I could rephrase it, if we can continue a virtuous life that pleases God, then we can keep the republic.
That's right. That's the oil that keeps the wheels of freedom turning squeak free. It's so vital to know who we are, what the intentions were, and to maintain it. You know, back when I was a kid, back before the invention of rocks, there was... excuse me. The Coca-Cola Company used to bring into the public school system, which I went to, every year a little packet. And in that packet, it had some things. It had a compass. It had a pencil. It had a pencil sharpener. And it had a ruler. It had some other things. And on every one of those little wooden rulers that they gave out in the classroom every year, was written. It's called the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's a biblical principle that was in every classroom of every kid in this area of the country. And you know what? I learned that rule from a ruler given by a business to a public school that affected my life and helped reinforce what I was learning from my parents and from my church that I went to as a kid. So society as a whole was working together. Everybody was on the same page. The political correctness of the day was care about people, just like you said. Do the right thing. live free. Not freedom is not license to do whatever you want to do. Freedom is the liberty to do what you should do. That's why the Founding Fathers said we need to maintain this thing. It's not going to happen on its own. You know, everybody knows this. When you have a child, you never have to teach the kid to do wrong. They figure it out on their own. They learn to lie on their own, steal. I mean, that's when they get their little fingers slapped when they're children. They get so, don't do that, you know, and that you don't lie. God doesn't like it when you lie. All these things reinforce to our children and teach them what's right and what's wrong. And as we grow up in a society living, doing the right things, abstaining from the wrong things, our society is better. One of the real horrors of the place we live is in our inner cities where children are killing children every day with no thought of it, where young people are living together without a marriage license and having children with no thought of it being right or wrong. Something's wrong, Bob. And we're the problem. We've taken away out of our schools the fundamental things that need to be reinforced, that children learn at home. You know, the scripture says, honor your father and your mother, that it might be well with you, and that you might live long on the earth. We need to instill that in our children. We need to honor our parents. We need to honor people in authority. We need to have respect for police officers, first responders, for government officials, and they need to do the right thing so we don't have to lock them up from doing the wrong thing. You know, the picture's so big that sometimes you want to throw up your hands and say, oh my God, we can't fix this thing. It's so broken. And I think that way sometimes, and I know you do and others do too, but we can't fix the whole thing in one day. But you know what? We can fix our families.
Amen.
We can read our Bible to our children and our grandchildren. Amen. We can get some good books. Take the blooming iPhone and iPad away from the kids and sit down and read them a history book designed for them about children. You can find them. I was looking for some for my granddaughter just the other day. History books designed on our founding fathers and godly principles that you can read to your kids. And we need to do it, Bob. And we start with our kids and our grandkids. And so that generation will have it. The problem is, if parents won't do it, if the church won't do it, if the government won't do it, get ready for Benjamin Franklin's words to come to pass. If you can keep it, and the answer will be, you didn't.
Marsh, these are just fundamentally true words. Not complicated, not hard to understand, but words that preserve us as a nation, but probably more importantly, that deserve us as individuals, that we are preserved, our families are preserved, our character is preserved, and that we can achieve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
Because the right things are in place.
Yes, they are.
Well, as we get ready for July 4th, it's a time to not just to remember what happened a couple of hundred years ago, but maybe a reminder that if we can keep it, a reminder to us to make a recommitment to society, make a recommitment to each other. Brother Morris, has just been an outstanding time with you. Thank you for sharing the time. Would you just pray for us as a nation before we leave today?
Before duty, I know the 4th of July is coming up soon. Let me make a recommendation to our listeners. Get a copy of get a copy of the Declaration of Independence. Why not read it to your family on July 4th? If you can't read it, Google and go to YouTube. You can find people who actually read it. There's several versions of it. And just read it and listen to the words. In fact, it was written and designed to be read because that's what they did with it. They brought it to every town in the colonies and they read it because hearing it is good for us as a nation. And those
Amen.
Words, it's not the Bible. It's not to replace the Bible, but it reinforces the things that the Bible say to us.
Amen.
So it's a good thing to do for the 4th of July. Shoot them fireworks safely. Have a wonderful time. Thank God for America. And read the Declaration of Independence.
Amen.
And let me pray.
Thank you.
Father, if it wasn't for you, we would despair. Your servant David wrote those exact words. He said, I would despair had I not believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, I believe that we'll see your goodness. I believe you care about us. I believe you were involved in the establishment of this great land from sea to shining sea. I believe you had your finger on it. You set the pulse of who we are. For the things I read by our founding fathers, Lord, I know your hand was here. They believed in you from the pilgrims when they came here and landed on our shores. Father, let freedom ring from Washington, but more importantly, let freedom ring in our homes. Let us be free to worship you. Let us see your hand at work. Let us be the people of God that you always wanted us to be, living in the liberty and the freedom that we have right here in this bastion of freedom called America. Father, preserve us, protect us. Let us fulfill the words of that dear man, Benjamin Franklin, and let us keep it. Let us keep it so that our children and their grandchildren and their grandchildren, until you return to the earth, might live in America. Thank you for it. God bless it. I know so often, Father, that's used as just the end of a sentence by politicians. But, Father, I ask you to bless this land, these United States, with your divine presence and safety. Keep us, O God. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. It's been a great 30 minutes. Thank you for spending time with us and sharing this incredible insight. I believe we're better because we shared this time together. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bob.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning into Voices today here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment. You can send us a text. And if you have some thoughts on what Pastor Morris said today and something you'd like to get to us, give us a call. We want to hear from you. We also encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell. You can also check in on our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net. There you can make a tax-deductible donation to help support this station. We need the support of listeners just like you. And again, be in touch, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again daily for Voice of Slidell at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.